Chapter 60. Jesse drove up Summer Street with Candace in the front seat beside him. "I don't even know what a vishla is," she said. "It's a Hungarian pointer," Jesse said, "sort of like a smallish Weimaraner, only gold." "Do they bite?" "I don't think so," Jesse said. "Are you having second thoughts?" "No, I want them. I'm just nervous." "Your parents are okay with this," Jesse said. "I don't think my mother likes it too much," Candace said, "but my father said yes. So it's yes. My mother does what Daddy says." "And why do you want the dog?" "I want somebody I can love," Candace said. "Right answer," Jesse said. "But loving isn't enough, you know. You have to take care." "I know. Feed him, walk him," she wrinkled her nose, "clean up after him. I went over all this with my mother and father." "How is it at home?" Jesse said. "My mother is kind of, like, sulky." "And your father?" "Daddy's great." "Your mother will get over it," Jesse said. "Like I know," Jesse thought to himself. "I never saw Daddy fight with anybody before."
"Like with the Marinos?"
"Yes. He never even gets mad very much." Jesse nodded. "You didn't try to stop it," Candace said. Jesse smiled. "He was winning," he said. "You wanted them to get punched up," she said.
"I did.
Daddy boxed in college, you know."
"I know."
"Did you ever box?"
"I don't box," Jesse said. "I fight."
"What's the difference?"
"Rules," Jesse said.
"How is it for you at school?"
"Sometimes Bo or Troy will, like, smirk at me when I pass one of them, but they don't say anything. A lot of the kids are great about it. Some of the other boys, football players and stuff, they call me centerfold."
"Like Playboy centerfold," Jesse said.
She nodded.
"That sucks," Jesse said. Candace shrugged. Jesse pulled off Summer Street onto a narrow road that led down to Pinchin Pond. Bob Valenti lived at the edge of Paradise in a small yellow house that backed up to the pond. The house was right next to the street, and the modest backyard had been enclosed with a wire fence. Jesse pulled his car up in front of the house. He parked without shutting off the engine so he could leave the heater running.
"There's Goldie," Jesse said.
The vigila was sitting in the back corner of the yard, motionless, looking through the fence. He saw the car and followed it with his eyes as it parked. He didn't bark.
"Oh, my God," Candace said, "the poor thing."
"Things will be better for him," Jesse said.
"Yes," Candace said. "I will really take care of him."
"Remember," Jesse said, "he's lost one owner and is now relocating again."
"I never had a dog before," Candace said.
"Your father said he did."
"Yes."
"He'll be nervous for a while," Jesse said.
"But if I love him, he'll get over it," Jesse said.
"I hope my mother isn't mean to him."
"That would be a bad thing," Jesse said.
"Can you talk to your father about that?"
Candace nodded.
"Daddy says she won't be mean."
"Your mother probably loves you," Jesse said.
"Of course she does."
"Then we should be able to bring her around if we have to," Jesse said.
"Can I change his name? I hate Goldie for a name."
"Sure. Just go slow. Wait until he's used to you."
"I have to think of a new name anyway."
"You might ask your mother to help you think of a new name," Jesse said.
"So she'd feel like he was hers, too?"
"Something like that," Jesse said.
They were still for a minute, the heater still on, the motor still running, Candace looking through the car window at the motionless dog.
"It'll be all right," she said.
"It will," Jesse said.
"But you have to give it time."
They sat silently for another moment, then Candace said, "Can we get him now?"
"Sure."
They got out of the car and walked through the old, unlovely snow toward Valenti's front door. The dog watched them for a moment and then stood and came down the fence line toward them.
Chapter 61. Parking on Beacon Hill was impossible in midsummer. In winter, with plowed snow choking the narrowed streets, it had become unthinkable. Jesse finally settled for a hydrant on Beacon Street down from the State House and walked in along Spruce Street carrying a flowered bottle of Perrier Jouet. Rita lived at the Mount Vernon Street end of Lewisburg Square in a high, narrow brick townhouse with a dark green door and gold-tipped wrought iron fencing across the tiny front yard. Jesse rang the bell, and in a moment Rita opened the door. "Criminal law pays pretty good," Jesse said as he stepped into the dark red foyer. "Better than working for the Norfolk County DA, which is what I used to do," Rita said. They went into her living room. There was a fireplace with a fire going. The room was done in a strong yellow with gold drapes striped with dark red. Rita was all in ivory, pants and blouse and 3-inch ivory heels. "I don't know which is more impressive," Jesse said, "you or the house?"
"Me," Rita said and took the champagne bottle from him.
"Will you join me in some of this?" she said.
"No, I'll have some club soda with cranberry juice if you have it."
"I noticed," Rita said. "I also have orange juice."
"I'll start with the cranberry and soda," Jesse said. "If the evening gets really rousing, I'll step up to the OJ."
"I expect it to get rousing," Rita said. She made Jesse's drink and poured herself some champagne. "How is my disgusting client doing at his community service?" she said.
"He's there every afternoon after school," Jesse said. "He and Blake treat Feeney like the fink out that he is, but they're too scared to do anything about it."
"So what are they doing?"
"Make work, mostly. Wash the floors, clean the toilets, polish doorknobs. Molly finds stuff for them. They probably ought to get more punishment than that for gang raping a young girl."
"They had good legal counsel," Jesse said. Rita smiled.
"You know the argument as well as I do. In order for the justice system to work, everyone has the right to the best legal representation they can get."
Jesse nodded.
"Doesn't mean I liked any of them."
"I don't either," Jesse said.
"How's the girl doing?"
Jesse shrugged.
"She and I went out and adopted a dog for her."
"You and she?"
"It belonged to one of the serial victims. I was trying to find it a home."
"Did that make her happy?"
"I don't think it made her happy. It'd give her something to care about."
"What would make her happy?"
"I don't know," Jesse said. "Maybe a couple of years with a good shrink."
"Is that going to happen?"
"I gave her a name," Jesse said. "My goodness," Rita said. "Cop for all seasons."
"I know a shrink," Jesse said.
"You think she'll see the shrink?"
"Most people don't," Jesse said. Rita nodded.
"I did," she said, "after my last divorce."
"You've had more than one?"
Rita smiled and poured herself more champagne.
"I've had 3, she said. "And after each one, I was inclined to fall deeply in love with the next guy I dated."
"You still do that?"
"No," Rita said. "But it doesn't mean I won't."
"After my divorce," Jesse said, "I wanted to fall in love with someone else and couldn't."
"You've only been divorced once?"
"Yes."
"The more it happens, I think," Rita said, "the more desperate you get and the more likely you are to grab at the first loser that strolls by, which makes it more likely that this marriage will fail too."
"And you've learned not to do that."
"Until now," Rita said.
Jesse drank. Cranberry and soda seemed particularly insufficient for this moment. They were silent.
Finally, Jesse said,
"Me?"
"It feels like it," Rita said.
"Another loser?"
"No," Rita said. "You are not a loser."
"Thank you, but I'm not so sure."
"Because?"
"Because Jen," Jesse said.
Rita put her glass down and stood and began to unbutton her blouse. When it was unbuttoned, she slid out of it. She stepped out of her shoes and unzipped her pants and slid them down over her legs and stepped out of them. Her lingerie was ivory, so it wouldn't show through, Jesse thought. She unsnapped her bra, slid out of her underpants, and stood naked in front of him. Jesse smiled.
"A real redhead," he said.
"Or a very thorough colorist," Rita said.
She came to the couch and sat beside Jesse and tucked her feet under her.
"So," Rita said, "tell me about Jen."
"It's a little hard to concentrate," Jesse said.
"My point exactly," Rita said. She shifted somehow and was in his lap, and then they were both naked, and then After a while, they lay together on the couch with their arms around each other, waiting for their breathing to slow. Finally, with her face next to his, Rita said, "So, tell me about Jin. You are as good-looking a woman as I have ever met," Jesse said, carefully. "And I've never had sex that I like better." "Not even Jin," Rita said. "She's not better looking than you are," Jesse said. "And she doesn't make love any better. So why her, not me?" Jesse eased himself up a little so that his head rested on the arm of the couch. Rita adjusted so that she lay inside his right arm. "Why her?" Rita said again. Jesse laughed briefly and without amusement. "God," he said, "if I knew that, I'd know everything." "You're sort of an addictive personality," Rita said. "Booze?" Jesse said. "And Jen?" Jesse nodded slowly. "And Jen," he said. "You stopped drinking," Rita said. Jesse was silent, listening to his breathing and Rita's. "I know," Jesse said. They lay still, passionless, their naked bodies touching pleasantly. Rita seemed perfectly comfortable without her clothes on. "Maybe you can break the addiction to Jen," Rita said. "I love her," Jesse said. "Jesus Christ," Rita said. "You invoke that phrase as if you discover the double helix. Love is an emotion like any other. You can get over it, like you do anger or fear or hatred." "I love her," Jesse said. "If I can be with her, I will be." "So," Rita said, "what's the plan? You fuck me until you can be with her?" "Hell, Rita, I don't have a plan," Jesse said. "I'm just hanging on." "That shrink, you know," Rita said. "What does he say about Jen?" "He says that I do my job, that I have women I care about who care about me, that my life moves right along, so why do I need Jen?" "And your answer?" "You won't like it," Jesse said. Rita grimaced. "Because I love her?" Rita said. Jesse nodded. "And you don't love me?" Rita said. "Actually, I do," Jesse said. "It's just that I love Jen more." Rita was quiet for a time. "If you and Jen ever get together, why couldn't we love each other too?" Rita said. "Part-time, so to speak." "Rita, I don't know what's going to happen after I get off this couch, let alone what I'll be in a month or a year." "But it might be possible," Rita said. Jesse shook his head slowly. "Maybe not," he said.